Now there was a question here I didn't take. Yeah, this lady.
Back to the slide with the eight cylinders.
Okay, the slide with the eight cylinders.
Just looking at it, if you have everyone running on eight cylinders without control, how do you stop unproductive behavior, like people doing the same thing, work repetition,
right,
or people doing the same thing instead of different things? And where does control end and leadership start?
Right. That's a great question. It really is. And the answer to that question will be essentially the focus of the rest of the day, okay? So I hesitate to give a real quick answer, but let me just make two comments. One is a quick answer, and that is the highest form of control is self-control. And if you got people on the same page about purpose and values, let them control themselves. Let them judge themselves against 360-degree data, a balanced scorecard. We'll go into this as we go. So it's not like you're going to have all of a sudden chaos, but I have to do a lot of basic work before I'll finally come to that. So you might be open to that. Another reason why it's a good question is because many of us would ask the same question. But my friends, the question is an industrial age question trying to deal with a knowledge worker age era. We can't understand it. It's an industrial age question. Most of us would ask that. You watch, most of the questions will be industrial age questions. They won't know. It's like on the bloodletting. See? Well, how do you know this germ theory? You're right, you know. I mean, what about this person here that we healed through bloodletting? Anecdotal evidence versus empirical evidence. Empirical is science. Anecdotal is, you know, personal stories. If this is your circle of knowledge, where is your ignorance? Yeah. It's right on this edge. Can a person with this much knowledge ask a question out here? They can't. They can only ask a question here. Now, as your knowledge increases, what happens to your ignorance? It increases. The more you know, the more you know you don't know. Exactly right. See, there is your circle of knowledge. There's your ignorance and your potential. Will Durant, education is a progressive discovery of our own ignorance. Now, increase the circle of knowledge. Now look how large our ignorance and potential is. It's many, many times. Now, if you are a professor at Marquette, my alma mater, that I just got a degree from, guess what it was in? Law. So now I'm looking for people to sue. No, I'm just joking. No, if you were a professor and you really wanted to find out the level of knowledge of your students, what would you have them do? You would judge them by their questions or by their answers? By their questions. Because you can only ask a question at the outside edge of your knowledge. You can't possibly ask this question. So when I was a professor, I said 50% of your grade will come from questions at the outside edge of your knowledge. The other 50% comes from how well you answer your own question. I knew exactly what there were. I mean, this concept of just asking questions, you could have one student ask this question right here. Another student asks this question right here. They both give excellent answers. This answer may be better than this one. This one may get the higher grade, but this one has by far the greater knowledge. The one here has no clue what this area is here. So also, with this business of moving from one paradigm to another, study your questions. Study your questions. It'll tell you if they come from an industrial model or a knowledge worker model. Okay, let's move. I'm going to give the solution in three words. Find your voice. Find, that's an initiative taking word. You take initiative and responsibility. That's a verb. It's an active verb. Find. Your. What's your? That is your unique talent, gift, capacity, interest, passion, opportunity. Find your voice. Organizationally, what is your unique competency that the critical mass of people are passionate about and that serves human needs to drive the economic engine? So that you have the overlapping between competency, passion, and need that will drive an economic engine, that will make a living and help an organization become prosperous. Find your voice. Your is a plural expression as well as singular. That means inspire others to find their voice. Inspire means to put energy into person. Encourage. Courage, see? In. I encourage you. I put energy into you. Spire comes from the Latin word respiration, air. See, I give life to you. I affirm you. I was raised to go into business. My family was an intergenerational business. We had motels, hotels, real estate, gas and oil businesses over three states. Very, very prosperous business. Going well. Started by my grandfather. Have anyone ever heard of Little America? Any of you? Couple? That was the brand name. Covey's Little America. Then I went to work in a situation where my formal manager and leader, who had great moral authority with me, I identified with him. Not just formal authority, but moral authority, said, Stephen, would you train leaders in this organization? I was totally thrown back. I was only 21. Most of these leaders were 40s, 50s, 60s, and so forth. I had never learned their fields. I was so out of my comfort zone. I said that to him, too. He said, I think you could do this. I will help prepare you. I will give you materials. You have 6 weeks before the first conference comes. I want you to train these leaders. There were 96 leaders, every one of them twice, three times my age. And he essentially inspired me to find my voice. And I'll never forget talking to my father about this, saying, I want to become a teacher rather than to go into the family business. Because all my life I could hear him say, if you can, you do. If you can't, you teach. That was basically his appraisal of teachers. Not so much public school teachers, but more advanced teaching and so forth. Because he did value public school teachers enormously. But plus, there's no money in it. And what about the family tradition, you know, and so forth. But my experience in training leaders was so fulfilling and so rich and so in alignment with my own deepest interests and passion that it essentially overrode the social software of my upbringing. And I've spent the rest of my life as a teacher. Even though we've set up businesses, I don't enjoy doing business. I enjoy teaching, so other people do the business. I don't even manage myself. Julie Mack manages me. She is the puppeteer. I am the puppet. Literally. Because I don't want to. I'm a producer. I'm not a manager. I don't want to be. To me, it's like the pounding surf, just one big problem after another. You know, you get hit by a side toe, and then a back one, and then here comes another one. Shoo, knocks you down, and then you stand up, and another one knocks you down. It's not my cup of tea at all. This is. And that is an illustration of someone who really affirmed and helped me find my voice. Now, my father and mother affirmed this as well, because they knew that in the last analysis, it's what your own children find fulfilling and contributing that is the key thing, not where you make money or what the tradition says. Nevertheless, this social software was in me and real. The Gallup organization did extensive work and found that the top managers worked by helping people find their voices, not looking at them through their weaknesses, but rather through their strengths, where their voice was, where their passion was, where their talent was, see? That's what they found. Focus on strength, not weakness. Peter Drucker in The Effective Executive says, find and build on strengths, then organize to make weaknesses irrelevant. In other words, build a complementary team where this gentleman's strategic strength is compensated for his weakness, let's say tactical, is compensated by his strength. And his weakness is compensated by his strength and so forth. So that the real spirit of leadership is the spirit of building a complementary team and of doing strategic planning and building a culture so that everyone is on the same page regarding that strategic planning by involving them sincerely, deeply. Not in a pseudo-democratic, superficial, what's-your-opinion way, but genuine involvement. Now, I'd like to develop this theme of find your voice slowly with you. I'm going to use Robert Frost's poem, Two paths diverged in the woods. I took the one least traveled by, and that has made all of the difference. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all of the difference.
This is the end of the first CD.